Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me if you just tuned in. I'm glad you did that. If you've been listening already, I'm glad you're doing that. Welcome aboard, and thanks for staying with us. We've got some really good stuff, some not only good stuff, some important stuff coming at you straight ahead in the rest of the hour with our good friend Dr. William Duckelberg. Bill is the chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB. That's NFIB.com. And, of course, he's a professor of economics at Temple University in the great city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he's been a member of our Brain Trust for many, many years. And every month now for decades, he's been polling small business owners to find out what they think is happening in the economy. And what are their real life rubber meets the road experiences about the economy? And he compiles all that those responses into a handy-dandy report that he's been publishing for all these years. And we are the beneficiaries, the happy beneficiaries, of receiving those reports and having him join us to talk to us about them. Bill Duckelberg, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Thanks again for all that you do for us and for small business. What's the news?
The news is, you know, more of the same. So since January, we've seen the optimism index at the levels we used to see back in 1980-82, which was not a very good period. So, you know, in simple terms, the index readings have been running around 90, or the long run average is around 100. And the difference is, of course, that back in that period, when we got our 90 readings on the index, we had inflation running as high as 15% and the unemployment rate over 10%. And, of course, today that is not the case. The unemployment rate
in 1980, prime rate was like 19 or 20 or something like that.
Yeah, 21.5 it got.
Yeah, at the highest. Yeah. So let me put this in perspective, Bill. We've got the kind of consumer sentiments today as we had when interest rates were in double digits,
right,
and unemployment was 10%, inflation was running rampant. We had back-to-back recessions. We had all kinds.
Big one.
Yeah, exactly, or at least a big W, didn't we? And
right.
And you know, lots and lots of serious systemic structural problems in our economy, and yet what we have now is the same with. Most everybody who wants a job can be employed,
right.
Other than gas and a couple of other things. So was Phil Graham right, Bill? Have we become a nation of whiners?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not sure that we're whining. It's just that
Sounds like it to me.
We have a sense that the economy is not doing well, even though most people think, you know, in the polls you see, most people think they're doing well, but somehow they think everybody else is doing really poorly. And,
Bill,
that's not the case.
In 1980, the whole World War II generation that grew up in the Depression, all those people were still in the workplace.
Yeah, they were.
Every one of my parents were. Every one of them were still working.
They knew what dad was.
Exactly my point. And so that little dust-up we had in 1980, 81, 82, this is nothing compared to the Depression. But
exactly.
now all those people are retired or have gone on to that, you know, that great place in the sky. And my mom's still here, but my dad's gone. You know, and so they're not being polled anymore. And the only people being polled are people who have no idea. Most of them weren't even born when we had the last real recession.
That's right. That's right. Now we just have a lack of perspective. That's all. I mean, the nice thing about our economy, and our small business owners certainly do more than their share, is that it's always doing well. So we get used to the economy being good year after year after year after year.
And then somebody along comes former Senator Phil Gramm, who basically, in my opinion, tells the truth, and gives the trying to give the United States a little tough love, trying to get in our face a little bit and buck us up a little bit, and he gets fired.
He gets thrown under the bus.
What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah, I was reading The Economist, which of course gives you kind of a foreign perspective on this on the thing, and of course they observed that Phil Gramm was probably right. You know, not clear that it was whining, but certainly is no sense of kind of comparison. But they said the politicians were right to throw him under the bus if you want to get reelected.
Again, I find myself repeating myself, Bill.
What's wrong?
What's wrong with that picture?
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, indeed.
Stand by. Phil Gramm for president, ladies and gentlemen. I would have voted for him when he ran before. 20-tail right back after these messages with our good friend Dr. Bill Dunkelberg.
Well, our hearts be like thunder. I don't know why they don't.
We're bringing it back here with the Stones bringing us back. I feel like they're my friends. I've known them so long. I've enjoyed their music so long. The Rolling Stones, ladies and gentlemen, the ultimate garage band. Nothing. How could rock and roll be more primitive, more basic than the Stones? And yet, after all these years, they're still rocking. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, and my websites, by the way, are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. And after 10 years of the over 10 years, almost 11 years of smallbusinessadvocate.com, it's still rocking too. And I hope you use it to your advantage. We built it for you. And then, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, Dr. William Dunkelberg. Former head of the business school at Temple University, now a professor of economics there at Temple, and chief economist for the NFIB. We're talking about your survey, Bill, that you've conducted recently. Let's talk about some of the components. What about you? You also did some recent studies on the labor market. So you have some new perspectives on how small business owners are hiring and firing.
Well, the thing that puzzles us, and so we've tried to do a study of it and trying to write up the results now, is that even when the economy weakened a little bit, we'd see one out of five of our members reporting a job opening they couldn't fill. So that was a bit strange. And then we noticed that about every month, about half of our members would report hiring or trying to hire somebody. Most of those, of course, were replacements. But about 70% to 80% would report that there were few or no qualified applicants for the job openings that they had. So we've delved into that, and next time we're together, I can give you some of the stats.
Well, as you
study.
This is not really big news for you, though, is it, Bill? I mean, haven't you and I been talking about for a long time? You've been reporting that the small business owners are still having and continue to have a hard time finding qualified people,
right?
And that with a million jobs, you've told us before that there may be as many as a million jobs going wanting in the marketplace today.
Right. We want to find out, what is it about the applicants that makes them unqualified? Is it that they don't take a bath, or they can't pass a drug test, or they can't
don't have driver's licenses? That's the more likelihood.
There you go.
I'm serious.
Well,
it's amazing. It's amazing the people who don't have driver's licenses. They've had them taken away.
Wow. Well, we're gonna find out in this study, and let's talk about that on our next get together.
Well, exactly. And the other thing that I've been wondering about, Bill, is if we're going to get to the point where the global economy and the requirements for jobs in the United States have surpassed the general capability of the average worker who's available to work, and if at what point in time, Bill, is that one issue going to retard our economy?
Well, it certainly isn't going to help the fact that we have 8 million unemployed people and we have all these firms with job openings and yet we can't kind of get them together, that means
right.
that we're missing a lot of opportunities to produce income and output, and you know, we'd rather not be doing that. So
and isn't that kind of what's actually happening right now? I mean I don't think we have to wait for this thing to happen in the future. I mean, aren't we seeing a taste of that right now?
I think as you point out, the average kind of education and skill requirement for jobs is rising. At the same time, though, it looks like, you know, the accomplishments of young people going through the school system are declining, so they're moving away from each other. The requirements for the job are getting tougher, and the students are accomplishing less, so they're less qualified.
The last data I saw, Bill, nationwide, I think I'm right about this. Folks, don't just look this up on your own, but I think what I saw, Bill, is that one out of four high school freshmen in the United States will not graduate from high school.
Yeah, that's sad. That sounds
Think about
very
that.
High,
I mean, that's preposterous.
It is.
One out of four, 25%. Say it like that, it sounds worse. 25% of ninth graders, freshmen, high school freshmen, will not graduate with a high school diploma. And it's just, I mean, that's untenable as we move into the 21st century, Bill.
Yeah, I know in some of the difficult areas in Philadelphia, the graduation rates in the high schools are, you know, under half.
Yeah.
So that means that half of the people who are in the ninth grade don't finish.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That number I gave you was average. Was an average.
Yeah.
Bill, what about credit, and for small business? How's that looking?
Well, still looking pretty good. You know, we had an increase in the percent who said loans were harder to get by a point or two, but what we still know is that there's been absolutely no evidence of a seizing up of credit markets, as the Fed complained. So that hasn't happened. The credit always gets kind of tighter as you go through the cycle, business cycle. So, you know, we're not surprised that that 1 or 2 percentage points more might tell us it's harder to get a loan because the economy slowed down. There's a lot of concern about lending risk now. So, you know, banks do tighten up a teeny. But that's all we see in the data, so we don't see anything abnormal at all. Credit seems to be quite available. Only 3% of the owners say that credit is the number one business problem. That's up from 2% last month, so, I mean, it's not an issue.
Is your report granulated enough to know whether the terms are tightening up, whether even though, you know, maybe the loan officer will allow you to borrow money from them, but their requirements have increased? Have you got any information on that?
Well, just the question says, is it harder? So I guess harder would qualify.
Yeah.
So it's getting harder, but rates are going down.
Right. Stand by. Quick break. We're going to be right back with our good friend, Dr. Bill Duncanburg. We're talking about inflation, the I word, when we come back after these messages. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm visiting with our good friend, Dr. Bill Duncanburg. He is Chief Economist for the NFIB. That's NFIB.com. And he is a professor of economics at Temple University, the guy who polls small business owners every day. Nobody knows more about the mind of a small business, especially as they think about the economy, than Dr. Bill Duncanburg. And by the way, folks, this survey that Bill does is available on my website every month. It's available at NFIB.com every month, and also your own website, Bill. Give us that.
Right, Small Biz, that's BUS, smallbiz.org. Charts are posted, and the last 12 reports.
All right, so check that out. Bill, the inflation was the big ugly back in the 70s. Historically, it was the number one issue for most of the time that you did the survey. Over the last 10 or so years or more, it's kind of become relegated to a lower position, but it's back a little now, isn't it?
That's right. Inflation, of course, was the real bugaboo back in the 70s and into the early 1980s. Inflation has gotten more votes as the number one business problem than anything else, than taxes or health care, you know, any of those things. But that was back in the olden days. but now, you know, we have the same problem coming back. In the last couple of surveys, 20% of the owners have said that inflation is their number one problem, and that's more votes than anything than taxes got or insurance or weak sales or anything. So,
and for
right
small
back
business,
at the top now.
For small business, that means my stuff costs me too much, and
exactly.
I can't raise my prices to recover it.
Exactly. Now, they've been trying. You know, 42% reported raising their average selling prices. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Only 11% reported lower average selling prices. That's probably firms in the construction industry still. But that's absolutely huge. So this is the worst kind of spate of price raising that we've mm-hmm. seen since 1982.
Yeah.
Which was not a good time.
No. Bill, can we agree can we now say for sure what you and I speculated on a while back, that we had a commodities bubble, including oil, and that bubble, at least to some degree, has collapsed?
Yes, it is collapsing. Certainly oil prices got out of hand, and they're coming back down again for two reasons. One, supply is increasing in response to those high prices. You know, we know where all the old inefficient wells are, excuse me, in Texas, mm-hmm. and we opened them back up, and we got some oil out of them. And, of course, then the high prices cause consumption to go down.
Demand destruction.
That's called popularly right demand destruction. So both of those things have now started bringing down oil prices. They're still very high. We need to see them back in the 80 to 90 range before we can really be happy campers. But, you know, every dollar decline in the price of a barrel of oil is equal to about a $4 billion tax cut for the economy. So
mm-hmm.
we're down $30 now from the high.
Right.
So that would be $120 billion of extra spending power in our pockets that we can spend here instead of shipping them over to oil producers. So that's good news.
Talk to us about the economy in general. What are you seeing today and as we go forward this year?
Well, if you look at just domestic spending, you know, it's not doing very well. It's either zero growth or maybe even down a little bit. The thing that's keeping the economy rolling is we have a lot of foreign customers, so exports are growing very dramatically.
Right.
That includes everything from, you know, equipment going out of Caterpillar to all the mines around the world where they're trying to dig up all those metals and so on.
Quite a bit of intellectual property. A lot of intellectual property, too, going overseas.
Exactly. And then, of course, yep. a lot of people are coming over here now. I mean, so lots of Europeans are vacationing here. That's an export. So they're hopping over here and
mm-hmm.
going to Disney World, which is good. Spending
right,
their euros
Mickey.
Over here.
Right. So what is your outlook for the rest of the year?
Still slow growth. We don't really see the main driver of the economy is the consumer, and in the last numbers that we had, the consumer savings rate actually rose from zero to about 2.5%. That's still low compared to what we used to do back in the 70s when we saved 10% of our after-tax income.
Right.
But the point is that consumers 70% of GDP, so we're talking about one percentage point change in 70% of $14 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
So when consumers save more money, you know, it slows the economy down, and we can't
escape
that.
Are we going to be slow through 2009?
Yeah, we'll be slow going into 2009, that's for sure.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Bill, for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.